You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Well, the Red Sox aren't going anywhere this season, but the guy in charge of buying, selling, and trading players is, or did, out the door. Last week, the Sox fired president of baseball operations, Chaim Bloom, as the team tries to stave off another last-place finish in the American League East. But are the Sox's struggles all on him? So this is the question that we want to understand, right? Your boss gives you two jobs to do. Maybe you can't actually succeed at both of them. Maybe you can, and then you get fired. How would that feel to you? Do you think that's the situation here? That's the question at hand. So we have two guests to talk about it. Alex Speer of the Boston Globe joins us on the line. We've been talking baseball all season with Alex. Welcome back.
Thank you so much, Tiziana.
Great to have you. Also joining us here in Studio 2, a new guest for us, Lauren Tuscola, who covers Boston sports as lead editor for The Gist. Welcome, Lauren.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Great to have you. So, okay, Alex, your first take. Why did the Red Sox fire Chaim Bloom?
They weren't winning. And crowds are growing increasingly indifferent to the Red Sox as they spiral into a plight of potentially a third last place finish in 4 years. And they will need bold moves. They have, they have some parts of a foundation that will serve them well moving forward and can open the door to contending again. But they'll need some bold moves and some interesting strategic decisions in order to get there. And presumably at the end of 4 years, they didn't necessarily see Chaim Bloom as the architect who was going to be able to make the right moves in order to be able to get them where they want to be.
Lots of nodding from you, Lauren.
Yes, I agree. The winning now is the real priority for the Red Sox. It's a big market team. You need to see those results on the field right away. So Chaim Bloom was more of a analytical, slow build. He did build up the farm system quite well, so I think the Red Sox are well positioned for the future, but it's that win now mentality that wasn't happening. Ticket sales were, the Yankee series was $1 you could get into the ballpark, and that's not what ownership wants to see, so that's why he was ultimately ousted.
Okay, so here's what I want listeners to understand. Chaim Bloom comes on a five-year contract, right? And there were a couple of things at play here. In baseball, there's this thing called the luxury tax. Alex, in sort of everyday terms, explain to our listeners what a luxury tax is.
If you spend beyond a certain level, then you are penalized. Some of the penalties are financial. Some of them can be related to your ability to get young players. And so the Red Sox had been well over that luxury tax threshold when in the last 2 years under Bloom's predecessor, they had been the number one spending team in baseball in both 2018 and 2019. Bloom was tasked with, it was given the unsavory first task of go ahead and pare back payroll by about $40 million or so, which is why they ended up trading Mookie Betts, which also sent David Price and his massive contract out to LA.
Okay, but during those seasons that Alex Speer just mentioned, Lauren, the Red Sox also won a World Series, and Chaim Bloom was tasked not only with cutting $40 million to get under this luxury tax, but because it can cost, on average, the average cost of attending a game at Fenway last year was almost $400, there was this other thing that was the winning thing that he was also supposed to do.
Right. And that's the dichotomy you're talking about of how do you get under that luxury task and put a competitive product on the field. But that's where the trade deadline comes into play. So these last 2 years, the Red Sox, they're in contention this season in particular, this past trade deadline, just a couple games out of the wild card. So that's where you want to see those crafty moves, getting some starting pitching in particular. So that's the other side of things where if you're not able to spend that money, you need to be able to make those impactful moves at the trade deadline. And he just wasn't able to get that done.
Okay, so that's what we're looking at. And this is the piece. If you don't follow baseball, I still think anybody can understand two things, right? The first is your boss gives you two jobs to do, which may be mutually exclusive. And there are some who think it can. So we reached out to our texting group about what they thought about whether Chaim Bloom deserved to be fired. And you can join our texting group by sending the word Boston to 617-766-0382. So Brian texts from Boston and says, I blame ownership. John Henry, who is the owner of the Boston Red Sox, and I should note also the owner of the Boston Globe, which is where Alex Speer is joining us from, John Henry, stopped caring about outcomes long ago. Chaim was hired to do a job, save money. He did his job. That's the first piece. But then you've also got to try to win. Desiree from Reading says, as a lifelong supporter, I just want to see a team that's got the potential to win and the drive to be competitive in the league, and that's been lacking recently. So now, Alex Speer, we get to this trade deadline thing. So your boss sends you out to a trade show, right? And you got to close the deal on a bunch of sales before the end of the trade show. You get there, and everybody else has got better stuff than you at the table. And you ask your boss to spend some money before the trade show's over, and your boss says, I'm not going to do that this year. And this is essentially what Chaim Bloom did. Here Chaim Bloom is just before the trade deadline last year explaining why he didn't make any major moves at the trade deadline last year.
We really like what we're building. You've seen it now. Like I said, it's not something that we're asking people to close their eyes and dream on. You're seeing it more and more each night on the field, the core we're building, what we're building towards. So we basically, you know, understanding that we're underdogs this year right now where we are in the playoff odds, we just tried to stay true to that.
So I'm embarrassed, Alex. You can tell I'm a baseball fan because I said last year because I'm still feeling some kind of way about last year's trade deadline. But that was from last month. This year. So take it on, Alex.
So interestingly, as much as people criticize Chaim Bloom and whether or not he added to this year's team, I actually think that the bigger sin may have been the fact that he didn't subtract from this year's team.
Wasn't
bold in moving in that direction. I think that the Red Sox have been for a couple of years kind of stuck in the middle. And this year at the trade deadline, they had an opportunity to trade some of their veterans who are going to be gone who are probably going to be gone as free agents after this year in an effort to become a better team for the long haul for 2024 and beyond. They had, for instance, a trade lined up with the Miami Marlins that would have sent Justin Turner, who's been a tremendous player for the Red Sox this year, to Miami in exchange for a young pitcher who has a chance to be quite good for a number of years, named Edward Cabrera. And it was all lined up, and then the Red Sox just they weren't decisive in either direction. They had trades lined up to trade veterans away for talent that could help in 2024 and beyond. They walked away from that. That might have been understandable if they had said, okay, even though we're underdogs, we're going to give these underdogs as good a chance as we can, and added some veterans in order to do that. They did not opt for that strategy either. So it was just this kind of stuck in the middle that I think really may have been a catalyst for the Red Sox owners to reconsider exactly, you know, the decisiveness of Chaim Bloom. He's been accused of indecisiveness in that role. And I think that perhaps the trade deadline crystallized that.
So, Lauren, is it possible that at the end of the day, it's not so much you could only do one job or the other, but on some other things you were wishy-washy?
That sounds exactly what was happening there. I know there was that buy and sell mix. So usually a team is either a buy at the trade deadline or a sell, and the Red Sox were in that middle phase. Fans and executives weren't sure what they were going to do exactly. That transparency wasn't there. So that's stuck in the middle. It's a great way to describe it.
And that seems to demoralize teams when they don't know. Is that fair to say?
And fans too. Fans see the standings and they see we're just a couple games out, right? We're right in the mix. We can make it happen. We just need that one piece to get it done. So frustrates the fans as well.
And that's why this whole underdog thing, I mean, we heard the whole quote there, but Alex Speer, it was that underdog word that seemed to just send fans furious.
It wasn't well received. I think I think that it was an interesting word choice, and frankly reflected the way in which the team was constructed. Right, it was a reflection of the fact that that most of the preseason prognostications based both on analytical models and on speculation had the Red Sox being a fourth or fifth place team that was going to track towards maybe a low 80s win total, maybe be on the outside looking in with the postseason. That's based on how the roster was constructed. So if you want to not be an underdog, then you have to make decisive moves in order to get out of that status.
So, Alex, I know we have to let you go in a second. So just one more thing before I do let you go. So now the Red Sox will go out. They will get the title is called President of Baseball Operations. Again, that's the person who obtains players, trades players, figures out who can be on the roster. Some people say, well, that person will be sitting pretty because now that person can go spend, because Chaim Bloom did do the part where you get under the luxury tax and built a good farm system. So, you know, could the Red Sox be a team that, you know, charges Gucci prices next year and delivers a Gucci product?
Certainly. I do think that there are a lot of things foundationally that Chaim Bloom did that have positioned his successor in a way that that you can build a very good team. I think that Chaim Bloom would have been positioned it would have been really interesting to see what he would have done this offseason, because the major league roster, with the number of young players that the Red Sox have under control, young slash inexpensive players, are in a different place than they had ever been during his tenure. So unfortunately for him, he will not get the opportunity to see to decide what that looks like. But certainly, you know, I think that the expectations for the Red Sox are appropriately high. They face a tough task. They're in a very unforgiving division in the American League East, but they have an opportunity to be a much better team than they've been for the last couple of years.
Okay, so we'll let you go there. That's Alex Speer, Red Sox reporter from the Boston Globe. Alex, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tiziana.
So still with us, Lauren Tuscola, lead editor of The Gist. Lauren, I want to talk about John Henry for a minute longer here, right? Owner of the Boston Red Sox and a number of other enterprises, both in sports and in business, including the Globe. Lots of anger from fans that John Henry just wants to spend money some other place, happy to take in tickets and sales and the expenses of the fans are spending in the stands, but just not ready to invest in the Boston Red Sox. Do we have any indication that while the Sox can spend next year, that they will spend next year?
That's a great question. It's the one everyone's asking, right? You see Fenway Sports Management kind of spreading their tentacles, taking on more opportunities there, and you wonder if the focus is still on the team. That's a big frustration for fans right now. I will say, too, with the frustrations recently, so you kind of see that ping-ponging with the team, right? You had Dave Dombrowski, Heim's predecessor, who was big, happy to spend the money, got results. So after these years of frustration, you think they might turn around and come out of that and be happy to spend again. So you're hoping that those years of frustration lead to some moves in this offseason.
Okay, so we're going to switch sports in our last couple of minutes here because you were at Gillette last night, where the New England, I almost said the Boston Patriots, the New England Patriots. Well, here, let's just play a little bit of sound.
Mostert takes off and goes the distance for the touchdown. So the Patriots defense sees Mostert pull off the biggest run of the night.
So I just want to say that Raheem Mostert does not play for the New England
Patriots. Unfortunately.
No. So what happened last night?
The Dolphins came out. It's if you think about it, there's some parallels to the Red Sox, actually. The AFC East is competitive now. So the Dolphins came out. Patriots offense was stuttering there. That's been the concern. Mac Jones, the quarterback, he looked okay. He kept them in the game, but with the Patriots, it seems we're only two games in, but it's either the defense is firing and the offense isn't there, or the other one. You can't have both, apparently, in the same game.
Okay, so the Red Sox maybe won't even break even on the season. The Patriots are down by 0-2 for the first time since 2001. Why can't we have nice things?
Well, I will say there is a New England team we can root for right now. The Connecticut Sun, of course, outside of the city of Boston, but in our New England area, Connecticut Sun are in the midst of a playoff run. So they are one win away from advancing to the WNBA semifinals. So that game is Wednesday. Currently, we have one New England team that we can cheer for. They're doing well, really successful team. They made the final last year. So keep an eye on the Connecticut Sun. They
women's
are
sports
only
there.
Hope. Exactly.
And a new women's ice hockey team coming as well.
And a NWSL Boston announcement hopefully coming soon in the Women's Professional Soccer League.
All right. So on that note, Lauren Tuscola, lead editor of The Gist, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.